Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I'm Ashley Docking, and this is Fantasy Sports Today. We're glad you could join us on this Thursday afternoon. Jake Seeley is glad you could join us as well because he has his week five rankings. We're touching on quarterbacks. Tom Brady is back, so we have to talk about that. Running backs and wide receivers in standard leagues. We'll get to that just after the news and notes. And then following that, you know, shame on us. We have yet to talk NBA. So Blake Murphy from Raptors Republic joins us, and we're going to flush out some of the top-ranked guards, forwards, and centers heading into the NBA season, see what he thinks, and then maybe move some people around because we're going to be looking at the Yahoo rankings, and there's nothing more fun than a little bit of a fantasy debate. But first, Drew Stanton, he's going to get the start. Carson Palmer has been ruled out for Arizona's game tonight against the San Francisco 49ers. He suffered a very bad concussion on Sunday. Well, it looked like a very bad concussion. So he won't be playing due to the short week. Stanton has his first start since 2014. In that year, he played 8 games and he actually went 5-3. With that being said, it's still a downgrade to all of the Arizona wide receiver assets that you may have in your lineup. But what it also means is that this could potentially be a huge week for David Johnson. The stage is set for him more than it's ever been, with Chris Johnson out due to a groin injury, playing San Francisco, who allows their top 10 in yards allowed, in points allowed as well, and they allow the most yards on the ground over any team at 140.5 per game. And if you take out week one, it actually gets worse for San Francisco. They allow 165 yards per game rushing since week two until week four. Andre Ellington will be the backup for David Johnson. Cam Newton, his outcome for Monday night, actually, against Tampa is still uncertain. Luckily, he drew the long week, as I just mentioned, so we're not sure of his status. We expect it to be questionable heading into the weekend, but because he plays on Monday, it's worrisome if he's on your team. So if he hasn't been cleared to play by Sunday morning, you should really consider starting someone else if you have a viable option on your roster. And quite frankly, the Carolina Panthers have been very underwhelming this year, and Cam Newton, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and has been sacked 13 times. So this might actually be a reprieve for you. You don't have the pressure of starting him and risking him going off against Tampa if he's just not able to play at all anyways. Latavius Murray, he's got the doubtful tag with a toe injury. Oakland taking on the Chargers this week. It's going to be DeAndre Washington drawing the start, but before you tag him in and consider him this week's Terrence West, the snap count is 18% of snaps for the entire season for Washington, while Jalen Richard has just over 19. And although Washington has 6.4 yards per carry, which is very impressive, consider the red zone work as well. Fullback Jermaine Olawale, he's been getting the split with Latavius Murray. Inside the 10-yard line, it's been a 75-25 split with Olawale and Murray. So he will probably vulture some touchdowns. He might be this week's fantasy jerk a la John Kuhn. We'll have to wait and see. LeGarrette Blount, if I'm him, I'm thinking, well, my work's done here because Tom Brady's coming back and the run game is definitely going to take a hit for the Patriots. But Blount is also questionable with a hip injury. He was limited in practice on Wednesday. And if you remember, he missed the final month last year and all of OTAs with this hip ailment. But with Tom Brady back and a plus matchup against the Cleveland Browns, LeGarrette Blount probably wasn't going to be a huge factor this week anyways. In fact, Jake Seeley doesn't even have him ranked inside his top 10 running backs. We'll get to that in just a bit. Well, we have to talk about Kevin White. He was put on the IR seemingly out of nowhere. He has a broken fibula as well as a high ankle sprain. Last season, he lost his entire rookie season to a stress fracture in his shin. What this means, Alshon Jeffrey returning to fantasy supremacy this week. And then we talked about Eddie Royal yesterday and his amazing line, 7 of 7 for 111 and a touchdown. He surely sees an uptick in work and production this week. And Tyler Eifert, Man, shame on you and the Bengals for making me out to be a dirty liar. We talked about him yesterday. We said he's going to come back and solve all of the Bengals' red zone woes. They have 4 touchdowns in 13 trips to the red zone this week. Tyler Eifert was out the first 4 weeks with an ankle injury, but now he saw a specialist for a back injury, and he's not expected to play this week, which means CJ Uzuma should be getting the start if Tyler Eifert is not able to play. Just keep an eye on it if you have him in your lineup. Don't get too excited that he'll be able to step in for you just yet. Sticking with tight ends, Eric Ebron is a no-go against against Philadelphia, the 3-0 Eagles Detroit is playing. He had an ankle injury, but he's been playing through it the entire season. But I'm not Will Carroll, but we've talked to Will Carroll a lot about those compensation injuries. When you're playing through an ankle injury, the ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. The shin bone is connected to the knee bone. So all of this reeks of a compensation injury. He will not be playing this week against the Eagles, as I mentioned. And Antonio Gates, welcome back, my friend. He was limited in practice, but he did practice for the first time since injuring his hamstring in week 2. However, without a reason to rush him back, it's going to be Hunter Henry getting the start, potentially. He was 4 of 7 last week, 61 yards and a touchdown against the Saints, and had a few key drops where he had a potential to have an even bigger week. Taking on the Raiders this week, who are top 10 in yards allowed to tight ends, although they've given up just 1 touchdown to the position. Getting a little bit more official news and notesy, though. A group of New York anti-gambling groups have challenged the interactive fantasy sports law that was just passed in New York State on June 2016. What they're saying is that the bill that was passed is unconstitutional, that the legislature was actually in over their heads and shouldn't have been able to pass the bill because it goes directly against the New York State Constitution. And if they wanted to make a change in the rules of gambling allowed in the state of New York, they should have actually had to make an amendment to the New York State Constitution. That process would have taken up to 2 years. So we'll keep an eye on this situation. At this point, you're still allowed to play DFS if you are in the state of New York, but the future of daily fantasy back in limbo once again. And sticking with the law, I guess, if you take a look at Justin Forsett's Twitter page, he's got his little sheriff's hat on and is officially on the job hunt. Anyone know of anyone looking for a 3-down back with great movement skills who's also freakishly good looking? I wonder if that doubles as his Tinder profile. We'll be back on Fantasy Sports Today with Jake Seeley. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We open our fantasy coverage of the NBA season just in a little bit after this next segment with Blake Murphy, the managing editor at Raptors Republic. But first, Jake Seeley, as per usual, joins us to talk about his fantasy rankings for week 5. And we're doing standard scoring, Jake, because a lot of the time on the network we do PPR, half PPR, so we don't want to neglect the standard guys.
Yeah, the standard, like the way people should be playing instead of giving away free points for nothing.
Oh, wow. Old school. The old school mentality. Standard, no kickers. Got it.
Yep.
All right, let's take a look at your top 10 running back rankings to start things off. Le'Veon Bell leading the way. Zeke, CJ Anderson, DeMarco Murray, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, McCoy, Miller, and Hyde. And we're going to touch on Melvin Gordon first and foremost because he has a ton of touchdowns. No Danny Woodhead in sight. But do you expect this touchdown production to continue going forward?
I would say obviously not to this degree. We'll be talking about one of the record-breaking seasons for touchdowns if he kept it going to this rate. But at the same time, I'm looking at this backfield. You look at this team, and he's pretty much their option. I think this is going to be a more of a pass-heavy game. But the interesting part is that even though they brought in other pieces or they have other options, Melvin Gordon's still been used in the passing game. This is something that's new to him. He's getting 20, 30, 40 yards. So even if he can't find the end zone, you want to expect, or you should say you can expect a little bit better yardage. The yardage hasn't been there the past 2 weeks. But he's getting the usage, so it kind of offsets each other. But the touchdown should probably come at least one more this week against the Raiders defense. I think there's another option where it's hard not to put him in your top 10 just because he's touching the ball 20-plus times a game.
Someone not in your top 10 is Devontae Freeman. They're taking on the Broncos this week, so it's a really tough matchup on the road. But Tevin Coleman, news came out that he has the sickle cell trait, and they're not sure what kind of productivity he's going to be able to give them, if any at all, this week. If he's out, does Devontae Freeman jump in your rankings?
Not too much, because you still, okay, there's two ways to look at it here. Is you got to factor in the Broncos defense for one, but the second part of it is the run defense actually hasn't been that great so far. We know they got gashed by Jeremy Hill, but they also gave up a lot of points to the Indianapolis Colts backfield, so it's not something that you should be scared of. Obviously, their pass defense is something to worry about, but Devontae Freeman will see a little bit of an uptick, but not enough to put him inside the top 10, because if you look at the numbers or the names inside the top 10, you're still talking about people with good matchups, people that are have been more productive on a per-touch basis at time. So I like Freeman a lot. I actually don't think Devin Coleman, even if he plays, sees too much action because of that trait. You got to keep that in mind. You can't risk this guy's health. So I think this is a fair spot to put him. Maybe he moves up a spot or two if Tevin Coleman's completely out for the week.
One game that everyone's looking forward to is the Vikings taking on the Texans. So we got to talk about Jerick McKinnon. 18 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown last game. Is this the kind of production that we can come to expect from him as the lead back since Adrian Peterson went down?
I would say not every week, but I'm looking at the Texans defense. A lot of people in their mind will think, oh no, it's the Texans defense. It's kind of scary. But actually, if you look, they gave up a touchdown and some decent yards to Jeremy Langford. They got destroyed by DeMarco Murray and LeGarrette Blount. This is a defense that actually has not been good against the run so far. And Jerick McKinnon, if you're looking at the two, yes, Matt Asiata could probably steal another goal line touchdown from him. But you're kind of hoping maybe McKinnon can score from far out, similar to what he did against the Giants. He's the more explosive option. He's going to get the yardage. You look at Matt Forte a couple of years ago back with the Bears, where he was always getting vultured. I think there's a similar comparison. No, he's not Matt Forte, but this is a matchup that's actually good for him and where he can put up 80 to 100 yards even if he doesn't score.
I love that. You look at the Texans defense and you're like, oh no. Go ahead.
I was going to say, except not really. Oh no, not really.
Yeah, it's like a sarcastic, oh no, when like a kid tries to scare you or something like that. Let's take a look at your wide receiver rankings, Jake. As usual, we're going to skip the top 10 and jump right from 11 to 20. Edelman leading the way in this tier. Sanders, Jones, Crabtree, Landry, DT, Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Matthews, DeAndre Hopkins, and Stephon Diggs. We're going to start with Hopkins. He has 277 total receiving yards on the season. It seems like he's completely void of a connection with Brock Osweiler. Was it something that you considered to not even put him in your top 20 this week?
Yeah, you look at Hopkins. Oh, no. Look, the thing is, Brock is killing him. There's no other way to put it. Is they kind of probably wish they had Brian Hoyer back at this point. Will Fuller is getting so much of Brock's attention, which has been good for him. But DeAndre Hopkins, we all knew this season was going to be a little bit of a step back because you don't bring in Lamar Miller. You don't draft Will Fuller where you did. And then all of a sudden assume he's still going to see 180 targets. At the same time, nobody expected this kind of fall off. And actually, if you're looking at the production so far, he should be further down the ranks. But he's DeAndre Hopkins. We expect him to bounce back. This isn't the best matchup. It's a decent one, but it's just more for the fact that Brock Osweiler is he's not peppering him with targets, and when it's his first look downfield, he's often looking to Will Fuller for the big play, and I think that's the big play is what he's lost most significantly. I think that's really what's hurting Hopkins at this point.
I was just going to say, this is standard rankings, but even in PPR, the targets just aren't there like they were last year.
No, like I said, you talk about 180 targets in a season, and all those receptions and yards, and you just can't bank on him even coming close at this point. It's unfortunate, but at the end, if you own him, you can't even trade him. You're just going to have to keep plugging him in your lineup, and hopefully he gets on track.
Stephon Diggs is your 20th ranked, all the time, 20th ranked wide receiver on your list this week. He had 285 yards in the first 2 weeks. Let me remind you, we just said DeAndre Hopkins had 277 all season, but then the last 2 weeks, a big regression, 87 yards, weeks 3 and 4, taking on the oh no Houston defense. What do you expect from him this week? Does he have another huge one?
I think he gets back on track. If you look last week, too, is Kyle Rudolph destroyed the middle of the field against the Giants. The Giants have been weak over the middle of the field all year long. So if the tight ends are taking some of that away, I think he has a little bit better of the matchup and the situation for this week. Stephon Diggs is still the number one option for this team. He's the number one wide receiver, and then Kyle Rudolph is the number two. If you just look at it, there's nobody else. Laquan Treadwell isn't even getting on the field, which is surprising. They mixed in Cordell Patterson. So you're looking at Diggs. I think this is a really nice matchup for him to get back on track. If you want to say he fell off, too, not you specifically, but people in general got so excited for the first 2 weeks thinking we had a breakout candidate on their hands, and you have to remember, wait, let's temper our expectations. Yet he's not in the mold of Julio Jones or Odell Beckham or these elite receivers where he can do everything. He does what he does really well, but he's kind of almost a poor man's Randall Cobb, so to speak.
A one-trick pony.
No, he's a little bit better than that.
I don't think he's poor. That's why I didn't like the ism that you used. Okay, we only have a minute left, so let's get a look at your quarterback rankings. No surprise, Tom Brady leading the way. And then as we leave this list up for our viewers to take a look at, Tom Brady, just the game script against Cleveland, he's going to be pissed off. Deflategate's over. This kind of writes itself, doesn't it?
I don't even need a pissed off Tom Brady. You could just say it's Tom Brady, and he might have 3 touchdowns by the half for this game, really.
LeGarrette Blount takes a huge hit. He's not even in your top 10 running backs because of Tom Brady returning, yes?
It's not so much a huge hit. He still has the touchdowns, but I don't think you're going to see the 20-plus carries guaranteed. I expect James White to take a step up. This is a pass-first offense when Tom Brady is at quarterback, so better for James White. Bad for LeGarrette Blount, but he's not outside the top 20. You're starting him if you have him.
Thumbs up or thumbs down for Brian Hoyer? We got to go.
Thumbs down without Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's getting too much love.
Okay, and if Paxton Lynch starts, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'll give him like in the middle. Like you're desperate if you need back.
Come see, come saw.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Oh no.
Oh no. Bye. All right, coming up next, not oh no, Blake Murphy from Raptors Republic. We're talking NBA on FSD. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. As promised, Blake Murphy from Raptors Republic joins us now. And it's honestly blasphemy, Blake. This is the first time we've talked fantasy basketball all year, basically, since the season ended.
Yeah, I mean, the season's just starting, so I guess now's the time.
Now is the time.
Yeah, we're maybe a little behind the ball.
We're a little behind the eight ball, so we're going to catch you up right away, and we're going to jump right in. We're going to start with the Yahoo guard rankings. And leading the way, Steph Curry, Russ, James Harden, point guard James Harden, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Jimmy Butler, John Wall, Kyrie, Kyle, and Clay rounding out the top 10. And we're going to start with Steph Curry, of course. Depending on where you look, him and Russell Westbrook, they flip the 1 and 2 rankings. But for me, when I look at Golden State, there are so many mouths to feed. How can you for me, it's almost like, how can you have him so high? Like, 1 to me is out of reach.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Steph Curry as the number one option. I would have Russell Westbrook number one myself. Points guard James Harden is obviously going to be a guy who's going to get a lot of counting stats. Westbrook in particular, if you play in a league that's 8 cat and doesn't count turnovers against you, that's an extra boost for him. But Steph Curry, I don't think there's a ton to worry about. You look at the potential minutes. He played, 32 minutes 2 years ago, and he was still the number 2 ranked fantasy option. He played 34 minutes last year, and he was number 1. So maybe the touches come down a little bit, but then you're just looking at assists and maybe even efficiency going up. So I think Steph will be fine, just not at number 1.
I was going to say, do you think his role now turns into more of a traditional point guard, and maybe even there's rumbling that Klay leads the team in scoring this season?
Yeah, I don't think Klay Thompson is going to lead the team in scoring necessarily. You're still looking at a hierarchy where Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are two of maybe the best 3 players in basketball. So, Klay Thompson is going to get a ton of easy open looks, and he might lead the league in 3-pointers this year. But leading the team in scoring, I'm not sure. It's Curry's team, and Durant is, Kevin Durant, maybe the second best player in the world.
You get the first overall pick. Do you go Russell Westbrook? Because for me, he has 29 triple-doubles over the last 2 years. The next person that's closer to him is Draymond Green with 14.
Yeah, I like Russell Westbrook as the number 1 pick. I'm a huge Russ guy, and I'm really excited to see him just go full John Wick on the NBA after Kevin Durant's left. The turnovers are like maybe a concern, and then the field goal percentage isn't always elite, but he is going to do so much from a scoring perspective, from an assist perspective. He's going to fill it across the board. He get you steals too. There's really not a lot that Russell Westbrook isn't going to do this year.
Someone whose ADP ranges, depending on where you look, John Wall, he's quite interesting. He not only had 1 surgery, he had 2 surgeries, different procedures on either knee throughout the season. His hope is that when he comes back, he's going to be more explosive like he was at the beginning of his career. But his coach is saying, Scott Brooks, we're not going to rush him back. So first of all, you might be looking at missed time at the beginning of the season if you draft him high. Second of all, you don't know. Knee injuries, we've seen Derrick Rose. You know what I mean? Derrick Rose is literally the caution sign for knee injuries. So what do you think about John Wall this season?
I think a lot of it's going to come down to your personal risk preference. If you're okay taking a bit of a gamble in the mid to late second round, John Wall's a guy who, he's going to average close to 10 assists, if not over 10 assists. And the scoring's there. And if Bradley Beal's healthy at the same time, which is an enormous if for both of them, obviously. But the offense could be pretty good with those two working together. But again, it comes down to your risk preference. If you're someone who has an appetite for that risk, and you want to take him late in the second, you can probably justify it. But if you're someone who's not, and you're in a league of people who also aren't risk-seeking, you might be able to get John Wall far later than his historical value would suggest.
Imagine fourth round John Wall, jump all over it. Let's talk about some of the forwards that you want to jump all over as we look at the top 10 rankings. KD, the second best player in the league according to Blake Murphy, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Paul George, Giannis, Draymond Green, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, rounded out by Melo. We're going to start with Kawhi Leonard. Every time I say his name, I want to just be like, Kawhi Leonard. Tim Duncan lists Spurs, old Tony Parker Spurs, older Manu Ginobili Spurs. What kind of step can he take this year? He's been so amazing and gotten better and better each season. Do you expect him to kind of progress even further this year?
I don't know if he actually takes a statistical leap forward. Last year, he averaged 21, 7, and 3, something in that neighborhood. The steals are great. He gets some blocks from as far as small forwards go, and then he's pretty efficient in terms of percentages. So, you know, Kawhi is kind of already functioning as a top-level guy, as a guy who's a bubble first-round pick. I don't know how much higher that goes because that's not necessarily how the Spurs like to operate.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, he's the guy there now. It's his team now, and, you know, as Parker and Ginobili continue to step back, there might be a few more touches for him. But there's also LaMarcus Aldridge to feed, and they added Pau Gasol, too. So it's not like, you know, we're not talking 4 or 5 extra shots a game.
No, and the Spurs, you can never really be sure what Popovich is going to do. He's like Bill Belichick. You kind of just can't even try and get inside his head because you'll drive yourself crazy.
Maybe it's Kyle Anderson's team now.
Well, LeBron James, the Cavs are still his team. But it's interesting because we're used to him being such a number one pick overall for so many years. Now people are thinking maybe like late first round, mid to late first round, just because he's going to be rested a bit more. And we've seen a bit of a regression in terms of his playing time, over the last few years.
Yeah, we definitely haven't seen a regression in terms of LeBron's play.
Sorry,
as we saw. I know. Look, there's a risk sometimes that you can overthink these kind of things with a guy like LeBron who has been at this level for so long. He's definitely still a first-round pick, but if you want to talk about the resting, yeah, the last 2 years he ranked 9th and 12th in overall value because he played 76 and 69 games. And last year, you know, if you play in a head-to-head format, he missed 2 games in March and 2 games in April. So as you're, you know, going down the stretch, he was sitting out a little bit, and the Cavs are not going to focus on anything but the playoffs. So they're not going to be in a position where, you know, where they're playing with anything on the line. So moderate risk late in the year, but otherwise it's LeBron James.
Are there any other forwards that we had on that board that you think could probably project higher than their ADP?
Yeah, Paul Millsap is a guy who every year I don't really understand why people aren't more high on him. The last 2 seasons he finished 15th and 10th in overall value. Now his ADP is 18th, and on top of that, Al Horford's gone, and while they replace him with Dwight Howard, you know, those offensive touches, it's probably going to run a little bit more through Millsap. You know, Jeff Teague's gone, and Dennis Schroeder's going to get a lot of that action too, but Paul Millsap is kind of the guy on offense now, and he's played at a bubble first round value the last 2 years, and people aren't drafting him like that. This guy's really, really good.
Do you think he's underrated similar to Jonas Valanciunas, or do you think Jonas Valanciunas deserves his reputation?
I think Valanciunas, any optimism, and I've been asked about him a few times as the Raptors gear up, any optimism, whereas with Millsap, he has performed at that level. Here, Valanciunas, you're projecting where he's going to go. The big thing with Valanciunas is so far through a couple of preseason games, the Raptors are having him work with the second unit a lot more, which is really encouraging because you look at a team that has Lowry and DeRozan, Valanciunas is the third option. If he's propping up the second unit a little bit more, that's a good way to get him a higher usage.
One name of a rookie who's going to have a breakout year this year, who's going to be the top rookie. Who do you think?
Top rookie?
Top rookie. Nine seconds.
Wow, put me on the spot.
Seven. Six.
You didn't tell me to prep for this one.
Not Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, I mean, getting assists from the forward position is going to be great. Yeah.